Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. So much going on right now, I can't even get close to covering everything, so here's the most relevant and important bits for now. The MyPillow drama will have to wait, I'm afraid. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. The House has passed the first vote for budget reconciliation following the Senate's vote, 219-209, again along party lines. Biden has recently commented that his negotiations with Republican legislators reveal that they are mostly interested only in slowing and shrinking the passage of relief, and he appears to be losing his patience with them. I hope that might mean he gives up on lowering the means testing, though it's not just Republicans pushing for that, unfortunately. McConnell wannabe Joe Manchin is behind the push and is also attempting to get the minimum wage lowered to $11, which, by the way, has sparked a new ad campaign that Income Movement is involved in. Check it out below. I would assume he and others like him are why Biden feels he has to make concessions in order to get the bill passed, even with reconciliation, as every vote is vital. Biden and Pelosi are adamant about getting relief through before bonus UI expires in mid-March. Pelosi says that she intends to have a bill sent to the Senate within 2 weeks. We'll see. The House also successfully removed professional quack Marjorie Greene from her committee roles on grounds of her past actions, proving her mentally unfit for the positions. For her part, Greene admitted that many of her craziest claims, such as denying that a plane crashed into the World Trade Center towers, or that wildfires were started by Jewish space lasers, or that school shootings were false flag attacks orchestrated by Democrats, were wrong. What a revelation. However, she reportedly dodged apologizing for encouraging violence against Democrats. When asked about GOP legislators not taking action against her themselves and Trump's influence over them, Greene replied, quote, "The party is his. It does not belong to anyone else," end quote. This is why so many Republicans have left the GOP. They do not want to be in a cult. The party used to be loyal to policies, principles, and the Constitution, or at the very least claimed to be, ever since Trump won the primary and the RNC elected to not even have a policy platform anymore, because it could conflict with Trump's whims. It has been a party loyal to him, not to character, not to values, not to the Constitution. This is why they will not impeach. This is why they will follow him to any depths of depravity, including turning on democracy and sacrificing American lives. They have ceded their autonomy, their individuality, to a cult leader. That said, there are exceptions. GOP Senator Ben Sasse, who has been outspoken against the election fraud lies and said that he may vote to impeach, released a fantastic 5-minute video address. In it, he says that the party must choose between conservatism and madness. He warns that purging freethinkers from the GOP is, quote, "not only civic cancer for the nation, but just terrible for our party," end quote. He goes on to say that it's the party that's changed, not him, and that personality cults, conspiracy theories, and treating politics as religion are not conservative. His most striking line was to say that the outrage from his fellow GOP politicians has never been over conservative principles, which he says that he has been loyal to. It has always been because he refused to bend the knee to Trump. I can certainly relate, and if you listen to the Trump Insurgency episode of the Moving Forward podcast, where I was a guest last, we talk about how since I found Yang, I've been moving more toward classical conservative values, while at the same time, it seems the GOP is retreating from them. It's very frustrating. Ben's colleagues are threatening to censure him for his refusal to fall in line. Sasse is hardly the only one to be censured. Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Tom Rice, and anyone who voted to impeach Trump have all been turned on by the GOP. On a happier note, Senator Romney has announced that he will issue an amendment to the relief package, which backs the Democrats' proposal to remove conditions from the child tax credits and make them monthly and fully refundable. Romney's plan differs in a number of ways. First, it raises the amount for children under six from $3,600 to $4,200, which is $350 a month. In exchange, his proposal seeks deficit neutrality by eliminating TANF, a highly flawed welfare program for families, and limiting other tax credits for families, such as excluding kids from the earned income tax credit, as well as excluding anyone without a Social Security number. It also would disqualify these families from SALT, the state and local tax deduction. The credit would continue to be means-tested, diminishing above $200,000 for single tax filers and $400,000 for joint filers, and would cap the potential monthly benefit one family can receive at $1,250. The Niskanen Center projects Romney's plan would reduce child poverty by about a third, though this is relative to the current system, not the Democrats' plan. Romney's fellow GOP senators Marco Rubio and Mike Lee wasted no time in issuing objections that giving people enough money to live would undermine wage slavery and was far too much like the terrible lefty policy of UBI, despite the Niskanen Center pointing out that welfare only dissuades employment when the benefits drop off as a result of work. Now, I don't know enough about tax deductions to break down how all of this shakes out, whether some families would be worse off or not. It seems highly likely that the Democrats' plan will be more generous as it does not eliminate any existing assistance. Still, it's good to see some movement on the right away from the bureaucracy fueling and punishing insistence on work requirements and toward unconditionality. If we could simply replace all our existing welfare with a proportional unconditional check, that alone would be a massive improvement. Biden has issued 1,100 troops to assist vaccination efforts at five sites around the country. The first two sites are confirmed as Oakland-Alameda County Coliseum and the campus of California State University, Los Angeles. Each site will receive 220 military personnel with a stated goal of 450,000 vaccinations per day nationwide. Operations are scheduled to begin February 15th and open to the public on the 16th. Democrats in Congress reintroduced the Green Act, a climate change bill that would extend and expand tax credits for solar, wind, geothermal, carbon capture, and electric vehicles. It would also direct the Treasury Secretary to assess the EPA's data on greenhouse emissions as a first step to a carbon tax, which would be the most conservative and capitalist way to address climate change. Mayors for AGI have put an ad for guaranteed income in Time magazine telling Congress to send recurring checks throughout the pandemic and listing all the mayors. It also mentions that they collectively represent 16 million Americans, which is pretty huge. Let's keep it growing. Yang had a conference discussing his plan for New York City housing projects alongside Ron Kim, Richie Torres, and locals. They discussed a number of changes, including a majority of the board being chaired by users of public housing, cameras and security measures to reduce crime, and a $48 billion total investment in the largest housing authority, the NYCHA. You can check out video of the whole thing in the links. And finally, guess who made it into local news? Las Vegas Yang Gang delivering 10,000 UBI signatures as past due invoices to Senator Masto. They got a good two-minute segment with an interview, and it is awesome. A lot of organizations and big names joined in the promotion yesterday. If you missed the virtual rally, you can check the link below for a highlight reel of in-person demonstrations across the country and check Income Movement's feed for more, as well as a talk with Tubbs, Ilhan, Foster, and Ryan about monthly checks. Big thanks to all who participated in this event, either in person or online. This one made waves. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Bookmark and share Romney's amendment. Check out the efforts of our fellow Yang Gang and give them and the connected organizations some love. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way, and don't forget to Yang Daily.